Good morning. I think you should have an extra thing for me here. Maybe like this would be. Brazilians don't work well here in this place, except the basketball players. So it's so nice to be here again, talking to you who have been helping us to launch a new outreach in the Amazon. You know that there are 10,000 communities in the great Amazon full of people who have never heard about Jesus. They don't have any exposure to the gospel. And this is a big task, and the Lord is calling us to do this. And we, 18 months ago, we started a new outreach along the Purus River. The Purus River goes all the way from the Peru to the Amazon. It goes north and down. And you remember that the Amazon basin is 7 million square kilometers. Your nation, the great U.S., is 9 million. And only the Brazilian Amazon would cover half of your land. This is a huge place. And that river is over 3,000 kilometers long. That is about, what, 2,000 miles, about that? And we are reaching a section of 900 or so miles upriver. So during this last 18 months, I have the pleasure to tell you that we have established 5 missionary bases, and there are missionaries in each one of them. And we just got 2 more missionaries this last week, so we are 32 full-timers there today. The Lord gave us 7 boats already, and the 8 people helping us, they are like well-succeed pastors or leaders in a town, and they are helping us in bringing wisdom, and we are accountable to them. This is the way EMAF is accountable to the Brazilian church, is putting that kind of commission together to each one we are accountable to, and we look for wisdom. So thank you very much. People who have never had a chance to hear the gospel now are getting saved. So thank you very much. Connecting Christ to the world. This is the thing. This is the thing. And I think when Jesus started this idea of church, and the word he used for church was ecclesia. We say ecclesia. This, we put the stress at the wrong syllable in Brazil. And ecclesia is composed by 2 words, ek, kalel. So they got these 2 Greek words and put together, and that's it. The ecclesia we have, church, the way we know, ek, outside, kalel, called to. So these 2 words that together became church, the meaning is called to outside. Connecting people to the world. To the world. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? What people are talking about me? And they replied, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And still other, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. This is what people are saying. And Jesus says, oh, what about you? What do you think? Folks, those people, they were talking about it. They were. They were seeing Jesus walking on water, healing people, having amazing wisdom, multiplying bread and fish. They were talking. Who is him? It's more than a prophet. Who are we following? They were talking for sure. And Peter takes the word and says, you are the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the living God. This is what you are. This is what we think, that you are the promised one, the one who came to redeem us, to save us, to bring salvation. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh or blood, but my Father in heaven. And they tell you that you are Peter. Now he plays with the words. And on this rock I will build my church. Peter is Petrus. And rock is Petra. Petrus Petra. He plays with the words. Petrus is like, in Portuguese, we have two completely different words for big stones and little ones, like gravel. Petrus is like gravel. And that big stone, Petra, is a huge stone. It's a big rock. So he was saying, you are part of me. You look like me. It's the same color, same taste and smell. But you are not me. You are too little. You will need me. You need to be on me. And now Jesus establishes the church on himself. He's the rock. He's the stone. And when I started reading this thing, I was a new believer. I only heard the gospel when I was 17 and a half. And I loved the Lord, and I went to know more and more. And I was saying, well, the Catholic Church says that Peter is the rock, but sounds for me that Jesus is talking about himself. And when I started reading my New Testament, I got Acts pretty soon. And when I read Peter preaching in Acts 4 saying, he is the rock, I thought, yeah, he's the rock. We are gravel. It's good enough. It's useful. We can make a lot of things. We can build with gravel if we know how to do it. But rock is the rock. And Peter made that point very clearly. So I was still reading my Bible. And I got this point here, and I didn't get anything. You know, new believers, we are reading. I remember that I jumped to 1 Corinthians. I started reading, I didn't get anything, I jumped. Let's go to the next one. New believers, they don't know. Now I'm no longer a new believer. They don't know a lot. So when I got this, coming to him, Jesus Christ, who is the living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. He is precious to God. He's rejected by man. He's the great rock. He's our safety. We can be on him in a meaningful way. And Peter says we will be built as a building on him in these verses. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So little stones are good because people can build with little stones. But if you don't have a rock, if you're on water, on sand, you'll be in trouble. So the rock is provided. We have been built. And he says, to be a holy priesthood. When he said that, I didn't get anything. The priesthood. What does it mean? What does it mean? So I started looking after what a priesthood means. And I found in the Old Testament that the Lord was thinking about that. And actually, Peter got this verse and threw it in 1 Peter 2:9, straight from Exodus 19 to 2 Peter 2:9. He did it, and we'll see in some minutes. But the Lord had a long vision for his people. And he said, if you obey me, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It's easy to understand a holy nation. What does it mean? A kingdom of priests. So when the Lord sees us and it's done, he sees us as a group, a nation, a kingdom of priests. We have this priesthood. And let me tell you, we do things better or worse depending on the way we see ourselves. I was a cyclist at first for fun. I was in the 8th grade when I started biking. And so it became big when I was 14 because I was the second best cyclist for my age in the entire country. I was the second for my state. I was the second for my city. And I was the second for my team. The only guy who was good enough to beat me was in my team. He was pressing with me in daily basis, but that was, he was big and fast. I couldn't beat him in the final sprint. He was so good on that. I hated that. Oh, sorry. We're supposed not to say that. And you know, for 2 years, I was second place all the time. You know, that's good. I have 240 so medals of second place. people were calling me just for making fun. Oh, Marshall, you're a champion of second place. No one else is as good as you are in second. And you know, I had no clue how that second was affecting me. I didn't know that. So I get 17 and I'm a junior. And I am aiming to go to the world championship. I was a pro during those days, cycling 4 to 6 hours a day. Very good on that thing. And there was a very important competition in Campinas, a big, big place. And I had a fall. I fell. You know, cyclists, when they tell you, well, I never did it, they are lying. And that was not bad. It didn't destroy my bike or anything. Just some scratch. But that was the last lap, the middle of the last lap. We were in the top of a hill. I didn't pay attention. I was grabbing my water. I touched the wheel of the next guy, and bang, that was it. So I had to fix up, put everything together, and run after those people. And now they are fast because it's the final sprint. They are going down and fast. I was very good on curves. A little bit more than I supposed to be, should be. I was crazy, actually. So what happened is that in the last curve, I'm coming down crazily, and I'm faster than those guys when they are opening the final sprint. I'm much faster than they are. So I come from the back. We started with 150 guys, and we had maybe 20 or 15, 20 at that point. So I was passing them. I was passing all of them. And finally, oh, too fast, and I was second. Wow, great. No surprise. What happens is that my brother comes mad at me. Because usually people say, Marshall, well done. You know, second again. But my brother comes, he was mad. He said, Marshall, do you know when I stop paddling? 1 meter after the final line. And he turns his back and leaves. I thought, what is this guy talking about? So Cassola, that was the leader of a big cycling team, he comes to me and he's also mad at me. And he says, Marshall, are you crazy? Why? You stopped pedaling. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Marshall, you were much faster than the guy. And 15 yards or a little bit more, 20 yards from the final line, you stopped pedaling. I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. And do you remember the V8 old thing? He had recorded the sprint. And he asked me, come to my store and I will show you. I stopped pedaling. And I didn't realize that. Because I was seeing myself as second, and that was good enough. And the last day that came to me, he said, he was national champion for very high standard, the professionals. He was like among the one or two, but that particular year, he was the best one in my country. He came to me and said, Marcio, I will never be a coward in my life. He called me a coward in between lines. And left. He was mad at me. And folks, I really, from the bottom of my heart, to today, I didn't realize and I don't remember of had stopping paddling before the final line. The way you do things depends on the way you see yourself. And now the Lord is telling you that you are a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. And sometimes we see ourselves as sheep, super needy, never as priests, representative. And this makes a big difference in the way we relate to the world, the way we take Christ to the world and take the world to Christ in prayer. And when you go farther, you see that Jesus was called the high priest. As always, he's the rock, we are stone. He's the high priest, we are priests. He's the base, and we follow. He is the model, we do the same. In Hebrews 5, 10, and he was designed by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek, or we say Melchizedek in Portuguese. Melchizedek, I don't know, that guy. That man was the Melchizedek or Melchizedek. He was not a son of Abraham. He was a Gentile. And Jesus comes as a priest to the entire world. So he came after Melchizedek, to whom Abraham pays the tithe, and he calls the guy a priest. Abraham says that. And you see Jesus being called as the high priest in Hebrews 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10. And not only that, but he is also the sacrifice. He is complete. It's so beautiful to see Jesus, the permanent, in his permanent priesthood, the high priest, but also the one who does not have to sacrifice for himself because he's not a sinner, but he brought to the Lord people and sacrificed both together. As a priest, he brings people and introduces to the Lord, because this is what a priest does. A priest does not do any other thing but bringing people to God and bringing God to people. Bringing people to God in intercession, praying and presenting before the Lord. It is his representative. And bringing God to people in proclamation. So intercession, proclamation. There is no other ministry for a priest in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you say, oh, Marshall, come on. They were doing so many things. They were doing things in order to accomplish two. Only two tasks. So all the things they were doing were connected to one of these tasks. Bringing people to God. Bringing God to people. That was the only thing priest would do. And he's calling us a nation of priests. A kingdom of priests. And we are looking ourselves as needy sheep. Needy sheep is his lenses. He sees us like that. We don't have to. We have enough from him. We don't have to care about that. This is his task and he's great. So let him see us as sheep and let we see us as priests. Otherwise, we'll be second. We stop peddling. Because we will see us in a perspective the Lord is not seeing us. Jesus is the mediator, and this is what I'm talking about. Jesus brings people to God and God to people, because this is what priests do. And now the Bible calls us, you also, like living stones are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, offering, bringing people to the Lord. Lord, these are the needs. Do it, folks. Pray, never stop praying. There is a warfare when we are praying. It's hard to pray, but go and pray, intercede. Take people to God, intercede, but also proclaim. Two verses after, he says, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we are designed for proclaiming. This is our design. We are designed for that. We are good on that. And we have that power. Open up. Say. Speak up. Open your mouth. And you see the power that is in there. I have 1 minute to finish. To wrap up. And I want to finish with this verse. In Revelation 1, 5 and 6. Is that great day. You as a group of priests, assuming your priesthood, knowing that you are designed for two things only, bringing people to God
in intersection, bringing God to people in proclamation. This is for you are designed, the Lord says. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, priest and sacrifice, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be honor, glory, etc. Because I can't read. For all the ages. Amen. Amen. That it might be like that. So from now on, when you drive out of this place, and I hope you don't get caught in this crazy parking lot, you see yourself as priestess. No longer as sheep. The Lord will see you. Jesus will see you as sheep. He'll take care of your needs. But you see yourself as priestess. I'm coming here to connect this world to Christ. This is what I'm designed for. Is this a good English construction? So, let me pray for you. You have been praying for me a lot. Lord, this is a bunch of people who have the power to represent you, to connect you. Thank you, because Jesus is the mediator and show us what we're supposed to do. We want to grab it as our own life, but we are not good at that. So please help us. Help each one of us. We want to be leading people to you and presenting people before you every day. So help us in this task in Jesus' name. Amen.